And he said, With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable should we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Mark 4:30-32.
In the spring of 2008, China was on the upswing. Beijing was getting ready to host the Olympics in August, an Olympics which were to be China's coming out party on the world stage. The economy was booming. Thanks to the internet, China's people had more freedom than ever before, and an increasing number of young people were being educated. The future looked bright. But at 2:30, one spring afternoon, just after the two-hour lunch break, the ground in Sichuan province started shaking.
The natural disaster killed around 90,000 people, injured over 300,000 people, destroyed more than 15 million homes, and left millions of others homeless and displaced. Reported estimations of the total cost of the damage varied between $20 and $86 billion.
The shaking on May 12, 2008 continued for about 2 minutes. The quake's epicenter was in rural Sichuan, but people felt it 1,000 miles away, in Beijing, Bangkok, and even Hanoi.
When you visit Wenchuan, the places I've been to, you see everything wiped out. The entire city is reduced to rubble. Everything you thought you had is gone.
The Wenchuan earthquake caused horrific suffering, but God can use evil for good.
This suffering, I believe, was a blessing in disguise for the Chinese church. It allowed it to emerge from the underground. Although it seems to be receding underground again, it has grown into a tree. It's no longer a mustard seed.
That's the story we're beginning with today. The Wenchuan earthquake moved Chinese house churches to organize and serve their neighbors through acts of mercy. Along with the story of the Wenchuan earthquake, this season we'll look at different ways house churches seek to walk with the hurting in Chinese society, seeking to serve those forgotten, abandoned, shunned, or avoided by society. Jesus said, the mustard seed of God's kingdom grows into a tree, a place of shade, offering rest to the weary and respite to the hurting. If Christianity in China is no longer a tiny seed, but is becoming a tree, acts of mercy are the fruit that grows from it.
This is the House Church in China. This podcast is the true story of how the mustard seed of God's kingdom is being planted in China, but it's no longer a mustard seed. Chinese house churches are, slowly, growing into a tree. The kingdom's roots are reaching down into the hidden places of society, blessing the desolate, despised, and discarded in local communities.
Joy and songs of praise. Rest, let me rest. Cover me with love and show your ways.
This season, we'll trace some roots of the church's growth in mercy ministry. We'll see a few ways the church is expressing love to her neighbors. Some of these expressions of mercy include walking with abandoned children, stepping into the world of China's red light districts, and accompanying the sick and dying in China's hospitals. Although the house church is still marginalized itself, she is also mighty. We'll see Chinese churches practicing what they refer to as 怜悯事工, or works of mercy. There are differences in how mercy ministry works in China versus a country like the US. In China, because of how the government monitors society, it's very difficult to form charitable organizations, particularly for faith-based organizations.
Compared to other places in the world, Mercy Ministry and Chinese house churches may look messy, complicated, and relatively unorganized. But it's defined by one thing: presence. A growing number of house churches across China's landscape are seeking to be present with those society rushes past. Stepping into the lives of the hurting, choosing to be spiritually, emotionally, and physically present with them is mercy. Many house church Christians are finding ways to walk with those in difficulty, to comfort and care for them. Jesus came to earth, became a person, and accompanied humanity in our pain. So those who follow him also seek to accompany the hurting in society. So although Chinese Christians can't always build large organizations, they seek to walk with the hurting. A large part of this outward movement into the needs of society began in 2008, when a massive earthquake destroyed the city of Wenchuan.
Every day, there were images of the disaster area on the news.
When the earthquake hit, Liu Jianming was a young Christian convert and a recent college grad. He lived in Chengdu, the capital of southwest China's Sichuan province, his home province. The earthquake's epicenter was just 50 miles northeast of Chengdu. The brunt of the tragedy lay in the suffering and lives unnecessarily lost through the quake. Many of those who died in the earthquake were young children, whose poorly built school buildings collapsed on top of their classrooms in the first tremors. The horror of watching thousands of parents grieve the death of their only child drove the earthquake's tragedy straight into society's heart. Just as Americans remember exactly what they were doing on 9/11, the Chinese can tell you exactly where they were when the May 12th earthquake happened.
The Wenchuan earthquake was the biggest disaster in China for many years.
In the chaos, needs were enormous. People to dig through the rubbles and search for survivors, shelter for the millions who lost homes, clean food and water for the displaced, repair of the ruined mountain roads that separated Wenchuan from the rest of the country. And that was just in the days right after the quake. In response, China's people gave generously, donating financially to alleviate the suffering they witnessed on their television screens. Thousands of volunteers from all over the country flocked to Sichuan to help with physical labor. And the Chinese government created an ingenious plan to manage the disaster. Other provinces from across China adopted counties that had been devastated by the earthquake. Chinese society mobilized in ways never seen before. Many people, both inside and outside the church, gave generously. For months, anyone who was able to help in the recovery was allowed to do so, and a significant number of those rushing to Sichuan were believers.
Many of those who poured in were Christian themselves. That was the first time in Chinese history, and that is after 1949, that Christians were so widely involved in mercy ministry. And the government knew we were Christians. We didn't do things publicly, but they knew we were Christians.
The Chinese government handed out food and money. They built new houses and villages and reconstructed cities. They distributed resources to those in need and repaired damaged roads in record time. But financial resources alone don't solve the multifaceted and complex needs of traumatized people. Those suffering from the earthquake needed holistic help, counseling, wiping tears, rebuilding relationships. In the immediate aftermath, Christians were present, helping meet Wenchuan's physical needs. Along with many others from across China, they cleared rubble and handed out food.
But the Christians also began to see long-term needs. Over time, they started to focus on the emotional and spiritual needs of the hurting. Christians offer people the hope that life is not meaningless. In tragedy, there is a God who sees and feels their pain. This God is so angry at the evil of this world that he sent his only son here to defeat it. Jesus restores meaning and purpose to life and gives them a hope and love they have never seen.
The projects we Christians did were all about touching people's hearts. We could go and do those things because the government couldn't. What the government did was give people money, give them a house to live in, let them eat their fill. But what we wanted them to see more was why the earthquake happened, what it was all about. How do we escape the greatest fear that our short lives bring us?
In China, there are many places where Christ's light and love is needed. And Christians can love and extend mercy to their neighbor, because Christians truly understand what it means to receive mercy. The 2008 Wenchuan earthquake was the first time in decades Christians had a chance to extend this type of mercy on a larger scale. That spring, Chengdu became a staging ground for China's churches, who together trained volunteer believers on how to accompany the traumatized.
Before the earthquake, Liu Jianming had no idea there were so many other Christians in his country. He thought his faith made him different from other young people. But through volunteering, he realized he was not alone.
There were so many of God's children serving. These fellow travelers were all about the same age, and all of us shared the same response to God's call.
The horror of the disaster pushed believers to step out in ministry. Through this, they developed a bigger vision of how the church can bless the world. And, crucially, the many small and scattered house churches throughout the area began working together.
Cars weren't as common back in 2008, so when we needed vehicles to go to the disaster area, we had to join forces with other churches. Before, we were isolated, each church doing its own thing. Slowly, we started sharing experiences and supporting each other's work.
This cooperation was not tied to any single group. House churches and government churches coordinated and organized, laboring hand in hand with government-sponsored groups and overseas organizations. In a lot of ways, because of this terrible tragedy, the Chinese house church grew up.
And Liu Jianming's neighbors noticed. Around Chengdu, many non-believers were deeply moved by the way Christians served the community.
In my family, both on my wife's side and mine, they consider volunteering in a disaster area to be the most honorable thing I've done in my life. They see it as an act of love, something you do as a Christian. It's something the people around them don't do.
Neither Liu nor his wife came from Christian families. But after watching the church serve Wenchuan, most of their family members have now made a confession of faith. Because Christians were some of the first on the ground after May 12th, they developed a good reputation in the surrounding area.
You can't kick people out who are really helping, caring for, visiting, helping children and teenagers, comforting the injured. Common people won't object to that. For them, it's very simple. Chinese are pragmatists. If you can comfort them, if you can help the children, if you can give them some survival skills, they will welcome you.
The Wenchuan earthquake changed the house church in China for good. Across Sichuan, people were soul searching. Locally, the Chengdu church grew by leaps and bounds. After the catastrophe, Bible study groups and small churches began to form in the disaster area.
During those few years, the gospel found its way into people's hearts more easily because they were forced to contemplate life and death, the fleeting nature of wealth, and what truly endures. We saw a significant increase in people coming to faith. They heard testimonies in church and witnessed that Christians weren't just concerned with their own salvation. Christians loved the city and were willing to stand with the weak and suffering. This resonated deeply. People began to see Christians as potentially representing a different culture, a different way of life for the city.
As believers built their community around pouring themselves out, their own faith grew stronger. Serving others blesses the served and deepens the faith of those who are serving. Liu says his involvement in this led him to leave his previous job and become a house church pastor.
It turns out that the time you put in, the emotions you put in, the actions of love you put in, all these changes a person. This was an important reason that I wanted to go into full-time ministry after this. I saw its fruit.
Across China, in the earthquake's aftermath, house churches who went to Sichuan to volunteer saw the fruit of loving, hurting neighbors. The church was no longer a powerless infant. She had something to give society and community. She had Jesus, and she could share Christ by pouring herself out. But there's a problem. These churches are marginalized, and some are persecuted. Although Christians were free to serve in the earthquake's immediate aftermath, that didn't last long. Within a few years, groups who were public about faith were asked to leave. Even those who did less overt activities were also eventually shut down.
And government restrictions on acts of service do not apply only to Christians. NGOs had a brief moment in the sun after the 2008 quake, but now most have been stamped out. Liu Jianming thinks the government is so strict on acts of charity because the government wants groups to avoid political involvement. But this is nearly impossible.
When you serve someone else, it inevitably transforms their thinking.
Any movement the government cannot control is seen as a risk. A group cannot be permitted unless it pledges allegiance to the government and funnels accolades toward the Communist Party. Liu says the government needs to control charities because it needs to control people's hearts.
They don't want others to receive the glory that they believe belongs to them. To put it bluntly, that's it. They don't allow other groups to be seen favorably by the people. They need everyone unified in praising them.
And this is a problem. Because when Christians engage in mercy, the glory goes to God. But that is exactly why Christians are willing to stick it out, even at risk to themselves.
This is Sally, a believer from another part of China.
It's very hard for NGOs to survive in China. When trouble comes, many don't have a feeling of a higher calling that makes them persevere. But for Christians who are involved in mercy ministry, they do have a higher calling that helps them persevere.
There are plenty of difficulties in mercy ministry, but Sally says Christians see acts of mercy as a necessary part of following Jesus. It all comes back to the incarnation. Because Christians follow Jesus, they also walk with those in difficulty. When believers show mercy to those around them, they show the world the face of Christ. And when Jesus' love is displayed, that changes individuals, and eventually, all of society.
It's like the tree in the middle of the road that has grown massive. Cutting it down would destroy the entire foundation, the road itself. It's impossible.
Next week, on the House Church in China.
A generation left behind. Millions of children in rural China are separated from their parents, who migrate to cities looking for work.
This situation, where parents and children are separated because parents are working to pay the bills, is heartbreaking for both parents and children. It's also quite common in China. It's so normal that the 67 million Chinese kids like this, about 1 in 5 children in China, have a name. They are called the left behind children.
Answer when I call, oh God, let me see your face.
The House Church in China podcast is a production of China Partnership. To hear more stories and to find out how you can support the Chinese house churches, visit housechurchinchinapodcast.com. This podcast is written by E.F. Gregory and hosted by Hannah Nation and Ryan Zhang. To protect their identities, we have changed all names and locations for Chinese citizens. Interviews have been re-recorded in English by anonymous brothers and sisters outside of China who have graciously lent us their voices. The House Church in China is edited, mixed, and mastered by Andrew LaPara. Our music comes from Daniel Snook. Additional music provided by IB Audio. All scripture quotations this week are taken from the ESV Bible. And please, as you finish listening to this episode, take a moment to pray for the church in China.